This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Kayla Muller from Ocala, Florida, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 17th, episode 1654. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world!
It's St. Patty's Day!
It's Christmas for alcoholics.
Hey, buono San Patricio. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. It's Christmas for alcoholics today. That's what St. Patty's Day is. Right? I mean, isn't that what St. Patty's Day is all about when you get down to it? Is drink a lot of beer, get drunk, and be Irish for a day. I'm representing, though, Kayla. I have green on.
I have green socks.
Oh, do you? Well, good. All right, good. And Jennifer has a green bandana, so we are all in the studio here, ready for St. Patty's Day. Jamie, however, is in Hawaii, probably. She is in the middle of everything green in Hawaii and lush. And
so jealous.
Yes, so she's in Hawaii. People have been asking all week. She was supposed to go to England, but the flights were full because they have to go on standby to get their free flights everywhere. So it's standby, second fiddle was Hawaii. So yeah.
Well, I don't understand. Wouldn't Hawaii be booked in England? Why would you want to go to England in March? It's so wet and cold.
I know. I think there's probably less flights going to England, which is why they get fuller.
Okay.
But she seems to be having a great time in Hawaii, posting pictures on the beach and all of that.
I want to go to the beach.
And Auditor Kayla, you actually submitted an audition. I had everybody, all the auditors audition who wanted to co-host today. And I sent it out to some podcasting friends of mine.
Oh.
And they all picked you.
Because I'm perky.
Because you're perky. That was the answer. That's why. That was what it was. It had nothing to do with anything else,
no,
Kayla. Just
no.
Perky.
Just perky. Not because I called you award-winning.
Yeah, no, not because you you buttered me up really well. So we're glad to have you today.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
We hope to get the auditors more involved in filling in as co-hosts occasionally. I think that would be a lot of fun.
It's a great honor, and I think everyone should do it.
Cool. Now, you get to do it in person. Kayla's actually in the studio.
I am.
Now, Kayla, as you probably know, has been with us before. She stopped in on occasion and said hi and sat in on shows, so that's been fun. And it is nice to have somebody who can actually, I can see my co-host. It's weird. I'm not used to that. Now, you are, for those that don't know you, we'll get to Jennifer in here in a second, but you're the owner and head trainer at Selkuth, right?
Selkuth.
Yep. Sport Horses in Maryland.
Yes. Yep.
But you're down here for the winter.
So I come down for 3 months out of the year to get away from the cold, though Florida's proving that apparently you can have summer all winter long until March.
Until March. Then it gets cold. It has been cold here the last couple of days.
But I blame myself for this cold spell, and I apologize not to the northern people, but to the Florida people, because I thought about putting my heavy blankets away. I thought about packing them up. And that was wrong, because now I'm putting them on my horses again.
It does get chilly here. Like, we were down to, almost in the 20s the last couple of nights. So we did that frost.
I pulled out my Arctic heavies. The ones with, like, the fleece around
the ears.
Okay,
that might be
an
overkill a little bit. All the people with 12 feet of snow are now.
They hate me right now.
They're
like, okay.
Yeah.
But we have a farm up in Chestertown, Maryland, that this wonderful lady, Dawn Willie, built, and it's gorgeous, and we're very spoiled to be there, and I mean, I live the life. I can't quite complain. except
no,
for...
and the place she's at now, she's slumming it here in Florida too. I went to a party there about a couple of weeks ago, and it's this disgustingly dump. I mean, geez,
horrible Mardanza. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, we're talking. This is a really nice place you're at. Yeah,
they have the tallest point in Marion County, the hill that you can gallop up, and there's a hard pull that's 3/4 of a mile, I believe. No, it's like between half and 3/4, and then a slow pull around the other curve that's 3/4 of a mile. Beautiful green. It's 600 acres. There's 3 barns, 3 houses, just gorgeous. I mean, I'm in the ghetto barn, but I still have automatic waterers, and I have like fully rubber lined stalls, and it's
a ghetto's
awesome.
A loose term.
Yeah. No, my horses.
Yeah, you have a roof. Yeah.
I have a roof. And it stayed on in the windstorm, so that's good.
And it's 600 acres, right? Yeah. So you got a lot of riding room.
Oh, I could go for miles and never get lost or turn back on myself, and it's awesome.
And they're all galloping lanes. I mean,
there's a lot of field that you can just go for forever. And then we have a Wordley Martin Arena, so premier footing. Wow. And
no straight sand for you.
Yeah. I mean, the Rainers have sand in their ring, so they're slumming it, but you know.
And you do have, that's the interesting part about that particular barn, is there are English and Western both there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's great because Sarah Cosenplick Murphy and Brian Murphy, so there's eventing, show jumping, and then you have Rachel Ori and Tom, and I don't remember his last name.
Yeah, I don't remember his last name
right
either.
This second, but I'll remember it. And they do reining, and they start young horses. So it's really cool to watch everybody's techniques and styles. Linda Zhang comes in and teaches dressage, and it's like a little mecca. And so it's great. And my barn's right by the ring, so I can just sit there and watch and spy on people from my barn aisle, and they don't even know I'm watching.
And you must have some nice jumps, too, if there are show jumpers there.
They're proper, like, show jumps.
Not homemade like most of ours.
No. Not like my jumps. No, my jumps are actually really nice, but I had to hand paint them all myself, so.
Well, don't we all?
The lines are not straight.
Well, thank you for joining us. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday Edition, we're going to take a look at St. Patty's Day. That's with 2 D's, apparently. And Mona Wheeler, an auditor, is going to help us with that. And the ND Flax Milling Horse Health Report features equine chiropractor Dr. Carrie DeLue, and she has some helpful hints for trail riders. And Team Elevate rider Megan Lynn is going to stop by and tell us about her recent CIC one-star win at Red Hills, and then streaking to the finish line like a chili hackney pony at breakfast time. It's really badass. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Yeah, that Scooter's been high and mighty the last couple of days with the chilly weather. He's thinking that he's the god of all gods of ponies right now. Carrying on. Well, before we get to Daily Winnies, I just wanted to say that I spent the entire night last night ripping the studio apart and changing all the wiring around to try and get our sound better. I apologize for earlier in the week. Those of you that were listening in your cars especially were noticing this. But there was a whine and then a hiss and stuff going on with the show all week. So we rearranged everything. Hopefully it is working. Any of the live listeners, feel free to private message me and let me know if you're hearing everybody at about the same level and all of that. We're trying to get this fixed so that our sound is better on all the shows. Stable Scoop last week was terrible. Sounded like the first week we had done it 9 years ago. But hopefully we're going to fix that up. The problem we have is our system is a lot more complicated than most podcasters, and which just means there's lots of room for things to go wrong. As you know, the more complicated the horse, the more they can go wrong, right? So,
exactly.
Yeah, more complicated that jumping course, the more they can go wrong. So it's the same with sound on podcasts.
You just have to keep your cool and roll with it.
That's right. So let me know. I would love to hear from some of our live listeners. If you can get to Facebook and private message me and let me know how you're hearing this. And now we're going to do our Daily Winnies. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to a whole bunch of new auditors this week. We've just had a pile of them coming in the last couple of weeks, and I know on behalf of all the hosts here at the Horse Radio Network, we appreciate you. Patty Puff, yes, that's her name. Rebecca DB. I have no idea. You want to take a guess at how you say that last name? Rebecca
Duos Borgazas? Or Borgaza? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, but you're probably closer than me. Chelsea Tipton. Haley? Haley Madsen? Whatever happened to Alice and Sally? And
Nancy.
Nancy. If we're pronouncing your names wrong, we apologize. Haley Madsen, Alicia Hartley, Aubrey Moore, and CJ Goldsmith. A whole pile of new auditors this week.
I feel like CJ is the easiest name.
You can't
mess that up.
Yes, I can't. Goldsmith, that's good. That's the one we can't mess up. And you know, you've been an auditor for how long?
Oh, I don't even know.
Years.
Yeah. I've been listening for a very long time.
I think you've been an auditor since we started, too. So, and so tell them they're going to have fun in there, aren't they?
You're going to have a great time. I posted this this picture because I felt like it was the only safe place to post a picture because you post it on actual Facebook and people go, "Rah!" And the laughs and the jokes they give great advice in there. You guys are going to have a blast.
Good. Good. Well, we appreciate them being part of the auditor group. And of course, remember, half of the money that we get every month gets divided up amongst the hosts. So all of the hosts here appreciate it as well.
All right. My daily Winnie was going to go out to my boyfriend, Brian, but I have since disowned him. since this morning, because I sent him a picture that I found on Facebook that I thought was hilarious, and he didn't quite get it. I mean, he did, but he didn't think it was funny. And I just have to read it real quick. And it says, "My ideal man must 1, be a man, 2, be swift as the coursing river, 3, have all the force of a great typhoon, 4, have all the strength of a raging fire, 5, be mysterious as the dark side of the moon." And he was like, so you want me to be a Disney character?
Okay, you're giving him Mulan references. I mean,
but who doesn't know that song? I was like, never mind.
Manly man. Who doesn't know that song?
My boyfriend apparently doesn't. Yeah,
I think that more qualifies him as a man if he doesn't know the song,
honest. That's true.
I think you should get bonus points.
Winner, keeper.
That's right. Yeah.
No, so, but...
Now, if he's listening right now, we have to discuss this, though. 8 years you've been dating.
Eight.
Soon eight time years. To do something about that.
Yeah, let's put the pressure on. It's not like I don't talk to him every day and go, So, there's something missing on my left hand.
I mean,
and
legally,
it's not a glove.
Legally, you're technically married anyway. It's at
yeah,
7, right?
Yeah, he's found a loophole. Oh, I leave for 3 months every year, so it's not consecutive that we're together. I was like, that doesn't... Fine. I live the gypsy lifestyle. It's fine.
We need to talk to him about it. We need to have him on the Horse Husband Show. And have a discussion.
I've told him that he should go on it, and he's like, "You don't want me on there. You don't want to hear what I have to say." It's like, fair point. Nobody talk to him.
Well, before we get to our horse health segment for this week, we didn't do it on Wednesday because we had the Rapid Fire Podcasters Day, which was a lot of fun. But I have a very serious note here, and I want to give I want everybody right now to say a thought and a prayer for Minnie Sarah. You've heard us talk about Minnie Sarah. She is truly Minnie, and she drives Minnies. She's a mounted driver of Minnies. So, and her Minnie that she drives is blind.
Oh my God.
So she does mounted shooting in a cart driving a blind Minnie. Okay. So there you go. That paints a picture. And Minnie Sarah is Minnie. I think she's like 4'9", 10". We met her when we were out in Colorado. She's been listening forever. She's one of our most avid listeners. She has been in dialysis for like 10 years, years and years and years, because of kidney failure. And she's also had heart issues, which has put her on and off the list to get a new kidney. Well, we're happy to say I got a text this morning. And keep in mind, she's been on dialysis like 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh
for
gosh.
10 years, and she's had 125 surgeries. So she's had a tough road to hoe, and she finally got back on the list, and I woke up to this morning. I just wanted to let you know that I got a call for a kidney. I should be in surgery by morning when you're doing your show.
That's so awesome.
I feel so excited for her. I asked her if she was nervous or excited. She said both. She said, I'm not sure how long the surgery will go, but they'll basically keep me out for 24 hours.
Wow.
So she won't wake up till this time tomorrow. And it all depends on her, how her body reacts to everything. So we're just, give her all your thoughts and prayers today. We love Mini Sarah, and I'm so excited that she finally gets this. It's been a long, long time in coming.
Let's send her lots of jingles, the little Horse Radio Network jingles.
That's right.
Snaps, and yay!
Yes.
She's my hero.
Go for it, Mini Sarah. We're thinking about you. And now it is time for the Horse Health segment. It's brought to you by North Dakota Flax. Today we have Carrie DeLue coming to you. Dr. Carrie DeLue, she talks about how trail riders can help keep their horses' backs from getting sore. And this was from a Horse Tip Daily episode. So let's take a listen right now. She is with EquineHolisticVetMed.com. And now, Dr. DeLue. Hi, Dr. DeLue, and welcome back.
Thanks, Glenn. Good to talk to you again.
We're starting a series today with you, and tell us about the series that we're going to be doing. It's a series of tips that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the different disciplines of riding and what potential chiropractic or muscle problems you may run into with those different disciplines, and then what, as riders or trainers or horse owners, we can do to hopefully prevent them and keep our horses sound and comfortable.
Great. So what are we starting with? We're not Frisbee.
So we're going to not Frisbee.
Could you do Frisbee on horseback? Now we need to convert that game.
I know, really. It gets really exciting. We'll start with just kind of pleasure riding, trail riding, since it seems like many people do that. And I know I've competed in my life, but, you know, it always comes back to the horses are fun, and I like to go on trails and enjoy them. So we will just start with trail riding and pleasure riding.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Well, many people go for longer rides. So let's start with sort of you're staying in the saddle for, say, more than an hour. The saddle is really meant to distribute the rider's weight. And how it best does that is with the rider putting weight in the stirrups. So if you're on your horse for, you know, really any length trail ride, and you're just kind of sitting there, butt in the saddle, relaxed, talking to your buddies, you're putting a lot of weight just right in the middle of your horse's back, which is easy for us, but can be a little harder for them. Whereas if you actually are pushing down in your stirrups, which does take a little more effort, you're distributing your weight a lot better over the whole saddle, and you're putting less weight in one spot on your horse's back. So that alone is very easy and can a lot of times help keep your horse from getting a sore back as you're just going on a nice trail ride.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So now
another. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ned.
Well, I was just going to say that now you want me to actually do something when I'm sitting there.
No. it's less pleasure and more work, right?
All right. Well, I'm starting to not like these tips already there, Carrie.
And here's another one. You know, for people, obviously you have to get on and off at least once every time you ride, probably more if you're doing longer trail rides. You know, every time you put your foot up in the stirrup and then use that stirrup or the saddle horn to pull yourself up, you're putting a lot of pressure on the horse's withers and pulling them toward you. So almost all of us get up and down off the left side, and those of us who have ridden most of our lives are much more comfortable doing that. But it ends up over time really kind of getting your horse uneven because they're so used to bracing themselves that one side and the withers are getting pulled that one direction. So a mounting block lessens that a ton, whether it's a real mounting block or a rock or a truck bumper, whatever it is. Really can help your horse out by just not getting up from the ground.
Okay.
And cool. Yeah, and then for those of us who are, you know, more adventuresome and more coordinated, doing it from the right side as well as the left. That whole left side we think evolved from people carrying swords, which we don't anymore.
I didn't even know you could do that from the right.
It feels so awkward, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then everyone looks at you like you don't know what you're doing. But really, you know, it just kind of helps your horse get used to bracing on the other side. You're pulling the withers the other way, and it's getting a little more even for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then really the same thing goes with, you know, leading a horse. So I know we all, you know, they're so much more comfortable leading them on their left. And if you bring them into the cross tide, you always turn them left. You bring them into the wash rack, you always turn them left. So horses, almost all horses, turn to the left a heck of a lot better than they turn to the right. So when you're at the ranch, you know, going to get on or groom your horse, just once in a while, or if you can do it half the time, lead them from the other side, turn them to the right. Their necks are going to get a lot more used to turning that way, and they're not going to be so one-sided like we all are, and we all make them.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, those. I mean, those are really the main things. Those are pretty easy little things to kind of help keep your horse less one-sided and keep them comfortable.
And from needing you as much.
Exactly. I mean, that's my goal. It's great for me financially. I see everyone once a week, but my goal is for no one to need me.
That's great. Those are some great tips, and actually that we haven't had here before. And we're going to continue this series, and the next one, we're going to be talking about what discipline?
We're going to talk about dressage.
Okay, cool. So where can people find out more about you?
People can find out about me from my website, which is equineholisticvetmed.com, or if you just go to Horse Tip Daily, I think, just look me up, right?
Yep, they can find you at Horse Tip Daily. That's correct. And
thanks very much, Glenn. Good to talk to you.
Well, of course, we do this Horse Health segment once a week, and it's brought to you this week by North Dakota Flax. It's a family-owned. They've been doing the flax business for generations. North Dakota Flax has an FDA-inspected mill, certified organic, non-GMO whole flax seed is milled at room temperature, then packaged and stored at room temperature away from heat and light sources. This proprietary milling process keeps all the omega-3s intact, so your horse can benefit from all of the flax's natural nutrients. Yet it is convenient for busy horse owners with a shelf life up to 2 years. No more daily battles with the coffee grinder. North Dakota Flax online at NorthDakotaFlaxMill.com to purchase or learn more. That's NDFlaxMill.com to purchase or learn more. And of course, we use it here at the Horse Radio Network Farm, and Scooter eats it, and Nigel eats it, and we've used flax for years and years and years, and North Dakota flax seems to just be of a better quality, so that's why we use it here at the farm. Well, now we have a very special segment coming up right after this word from Kentucky Performance Products.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Right, so we have Auditor Mona Wheeler on the line to give us the lowdown on all things St. Paddy's Day. Good morning, Mona.
Good morning.
So, tell us all about St. Paddy's Day. I didn't know that there was anything besides green and drinking. Whoops.
Yes, it's a huge deal around here. I live in Savannah, Georgia, and it's actually a legal holiday here.
So, oh, really?
Oh my gosh.
You must have a lot of Irish in Savannah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. You know, a lot of Irish immigrants came here. when Savannah first started out, a lot of Irish immigrants came here. So it's probably a reason why it's a big deal here.
All right. Well, tell us about it. Like, is there meat and potatoes? I'm being very stereotypical right now. I have no idea what you're going to tell us. Yeah, cabbage, carrots, beer.
Well, St. Patrick's Day, I mean, it started out as the feast day. So it's a Catholic holiday. It's a feast day for the patron saint of Ireland, St. Patrick. And he was, well, they say he was born in like 387 in Britain. But there's a lot of historians argue over when he was really born. But we know he was active in the 5th century because he's a saint because he's the one who converted all of Ireland, apparently, to Christianity. So he was born in Britain, and according to his own writings, he was taken as a slave over to Ireland, and he worked as a slave for about 6 years. And at that time, he prayed a lot, and he became very religious from being not too religious before. And he escaped and went back to Britain and studied to become a priest. And he did. When he got older, he became a priest and then a bishop. And he went back to Ireland to convert people in Ireland to Christianity because he felt that he was saved there. So he wanted to convert the whole island and everyone there and bring them to God. So, you know, we celebrate St. Paddy's Day by drinking lots of alcohol, but it was a pretty big deal for him to spend his whole life over there converting Ireland to Christianity.
So I just don't understand how it went from a religious thing to, did America make it a drinking holiday? Did the Irish make it a drinking holiday?
The Irish make everything a drinking holiday.
What do you think?
Actually, it was kind of a mixture of both. It was one of those things in like the 1700s, the holiday started popping up. Well, celebrations for the holiday started popping up here in the States. And there was a lot of Irish immigrants that came to America and like lived in New York and Chicago. And a lot of them came down here to Savannah. And they started having some celebrations. And eventually those private celebrations grew into larger, more public displays and then parades. So Philadelphia has a pretty big parade, and theirs started in 1771. So they've been having a parade ever since. New York City has a very large parade, and so does Chicago. And it kind of grew over the years, and Irish culture here in America kind of took the shape of some of the parades. So it was kind of back and forth, like Irish culture influenced the parades, but the parades and the holiday also influenced how we perceive Irish American culture.
St. Paddy's Day is actually celebrated in more countries than any other national festival. So of all the national festivals, that just goes to show that in many countries, people like to drink.
That's what I was going to say. Everyone likes a good party.
Plus, the Irish did distribute out. And, you know, they went to a bunch of different countries, too, when they left Ireland.
They did. Plus, it also helped that Lent doesn't count on St. Patrick's Day. So even the Pope says that you can drink.
There you go.
Well, the Pope says it, let's do it.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You can drink on St. Patrick's Day.
And
so,
and of course, the shamrock was because of the Holy Trinity. You know, that's the reason the shamrock came to be. So, and then that's always just kind of stuck. Now, the wearing of green
Absolutely.
Was directly related to the shamrock, I assume.
Well, his color originally started out as blue. All of his, you know, like his garments and his everything started out as blue, and it just kind of morphed into green because, you know, Ireland is green
Ireland.
And shamrocks are green, and it just kind of, well, everyone thinks of the Emerald Isle, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, Ireland, it's green on the map.
Yeah, I think the Irish should be pissed if it was blue.
Yeah.
If we all wore blue for St. Paddy's Day. Now, how does a German girl know so much about St. Paddy's Day?
I love St. Patrick's Day. I think it's a great holiday. But also, you know, living in Savannah, you kind of get sucked into it a little bit because it's so prominent here. I mean, I'm a student teacher, but we don't have school today because it's a legal holiday.
Oh, wow.
And it's only a legal holiday here and in Suffolk, Massachusetts. Everywhere else is just, it's not, yeah.
That's funny. So will you be going to a parade today?
Well, the parade is usually at 10, and we don't generally go because it's very chaotic, and Savannah has around 300,000 people normally, but for St. Patrick's Day, we get in a lot of extra tourists. We had the biggest celebration in 2012. We had 1 million people come in for that celebration, for the festivities.
I had no idea. Like,
so,
of all places, Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Not, you know, New York. When I think of Irish immigrants, I think New York.
Or Massachusetts. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Like, Chicago has a huge celebration. They dye their whole river green for the day. And we dye our fountains green. It's a big deal here. A few days before St. Patrick's Day, we have the greening of the fountain. And we have a St. Patrick's Day parade committee, and they put on this whole celebration, and they do the greening of the fountain, and then they do a the Celtic cross ceremony in one of our squares, because Savannah has these huge, beautiful squares with historic buildings and big oak trees. So it's really, I don't know, on one side it's all parties and festivals, and on the other side it's a very deeply religious holiday.
And Savannah, I can't remember, Jennifer, have you been to Savannah?
I've never been to Savannah. I kind of
drive by
through
it. Yeah, that's
Georgia,
right.
On the way down and wave to everyone. Bye, gotta get to Florida.
Yeah. So everybody drives by something in Georgia, exactly. Either on 75 or 95.
Yep.
You're driving by something.
Yeah, if you're on 95, you know, you wave at Savannah at 94, and that's it.
But you guys are known for having some terrific food restaurants. Some great food there.
Absolutely. We have some excellent food. And for the festival this weekend, there's also a food truck group. They come in and set up all their food trucks everywhere, so we have even more fabulous food.
There you go. So is it cabbage and potatoes for you today?
Probably, but from what I understand, the corned beef and cabbage is really an American-Irish tradition and not really an Irish tradition.
Have you guys seen the videos? I saw
there's
these.
Another one of
I saw this on YouTube this morning. I was looking for sound clips to do the opener, and there's this group of videos where they have people try stuff from other countries. They just have kind of actors sitting there trying different things from other countries, and it's funny as heck because they just think it's awful what everybody else eats. Well, they had the Irish trying American food, and that was very funny and then they had Irish trying Irish food that people think people in Ireland eat. Like what you just said, and they hated it. They were like, "Oh, you think we eat this stuff?
What do you think of us?"
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think we eat cabbage every meal? No. So that was funny.
Of course, cabbage and beer all the time.
That's right. Well, thank you, Mona, for joining us. We really appreciate it, and for helping us out to understand St. Patty's Day.
Yes, thank you for educating
us. No problem.
Yeah.
Can I also say the Budweiser Clydesdales are in town right now. So
oh,
if there are any listeners that want to go see them, the Budweiser Clydesdales are in the parade today, and then they're doing a full hitch appearance tomorrow at Calhoun Street in Old Town Bluffton, which isn't that far away from us.
Oh, cool. Are you
at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Are you going to go over?
Go see. Yeah. I think so. I have never seen them in their full hitch.
Oh, you have to see them.
So cool. I think it'll be pretty amazing. We have actually two sets of Clydesdales in town right now. We have the Budweiser Clydesdales, and then there's the Express Clydesdales. They're a little less known, but they raise money for the Children's Miracle Network. And yesterday they did a full hitch appearance with their stagecoach, and you can ride on their stagecoach.
We got to see them, didn't we, over the last weekend?
Yeah, at Live Oak.
Yeah, they were at Live Oak.
Really
did
cool.
You see them when they went in the ring?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
like
something
mobbing
else.
Around this tiny ring. I was like, oh, you're not going to make it between those jumps. Oh, they did. They did.
They actually went between the jumps with their, was it eight? Did they have eight or six? Six.
Six.
And a six horse hitch up. And those Clydesdales go between those jumps. They got close a couple times.
Between the rail and the jumps. And I was like, that's not wide enough. Oh, it is. Okay.
He controlled those horses, though.
Oh, my gosh. Their feet were huge.
You think it's hard, you know, keeping a handle on one event horse? Try six.
No.
Clydesdales.
I know, right? And their feet apparently are so big that it made the news. It made the news here yesterday.
Their feet did?
Their feet made the news.
Yeah. The lady that was doing the interview with the Mr. Stewart, I think his name is.
Yeah.
With the Bud or the Express Clydesdale, she was like, you have to see their feet. Come out and look at their feet. They're as big as dinner plates.
I did talk to him over the weekend, and we're going to get him on the show here one of these days soon. And I got to get a ride, too. I need a ride in that carriage.
Now, has anyone ever held...
I know. I'm very sad that I missed it.
Has anyone ever held a dinner plate up to their feet?
Yeah,
for
we did. Yeah, we had a Percheron who had the big feet like that because he was about 18 and a half hands. Oh, and he is, they are truly, when they need trimmed especially, they're truly dinner plate size. I mean, they truly are. They're huge. And talk about heavy. Oh my God, are they heavy. Farriers, our farrier hated doing the draft horse because it was just
backbreaking.
I had the draft horse and then I had a Hackney pony that would stand straight up on two legs the whole time. So Farrier really hated us. There was no winning at our barn. Jennifer's normal little thoroughbreds were great. When the thoroughbred is the good one.
I was going to say, normally they're like, oh, it's a thoroughbred. Yeah. Oh, no.
That's how you know you have a bad barn when the thoroughbred's a good one. Mona, thank you so much. And thanks for being an auditor and a listener. We love you.
No problem. Happy St. Patty's Day.
Happy St. Patty's Day to you, too. I got to get out all the Irish music here for today.
I'm over here bobbing my head.
Yeah, she has been over here bobbing her head the whole time. I have another one too here. Let's see. We don't have any beer, though. That's the one thing we're missing.
I thought you were bringing the beer. I brought coffee. Does that count? That's pre-beer.
That's pre-beer.
It's pre-gaming for
That's
beer
right.
later.
By noon, it'll be beer.
Yep.
So now tell me, you are also our spotlight trainer for the OTTB Challenge, the Off-Track Thoroughbred Challenge that happens in October in Kentucky, and your horse, Gable. We had you on, about a month, 6 weeks ago, maybe?
About that, yeah. Somewhere around there.
And you had just started really working with Gable at that point heavily. And now you've had a whole winter here in Florida, which has been pretty nice to work with him.
Oh, awesome.
What have you accomplished with the Gable?
Well, Gable, he's a doll. I just love him. He's like a dog. He follows me around in the field and like we make out together and it's not creepy at all. No, but he's learning dressage and it's really fun to watch when you get them and they have no knowledge and you show them and you're just really patient and like it just starts to come around. And he's a really good learner. Like I asked him to leg yield the other day. So now he has leg yields. And I just put my leg on and said, move over. And he was like, okay, and just started leg yielding over, and I was like, boom, I'm a trainer. That's right. He makes me feel good about myself. No, but so he's been out cross-country schooling three times now. We went to Longwood, and, you know, we took our time, hacked around the whole property, just tried to keep everything quiet and simple. And then started to trot and canter. And by the end, he was trotting and cantering little logs. He'd never seen anything like that. And then, of course, my friend goes, because he's going through that awkward stage where with jumping, he knows he has front legs and he knows he has hind legs. But he can't quite coordinate sometimes that front legs and hind legs need to be picked up at the same time. And he's like, what do I do with my body? It's like the gangly teenager that just doesn't know what to do with their arms or their hands. You know, they're like, what do I do?
Was she riding Nigel?
They all go through that phase. Some of them a little earlier than others.
Yeah. And so And
some last a little longer than others.
I'm hoping this doesn't last for too long.
He's been going through that phase his whole life.
I hope this doesn't last for too long. But yeah, so she pulls out her phone. She's like, let's take some video. This will be awesome. He's jumping super. She takes the video, and he had started to get really confident and cocky. And he's like, I'm going to put a canter step in before this stack of logs. Well, he didn't pick up his front legs in time, and he kind of clobbered the log. Luckily, it's solid. Nothing really happened. But he landed, and he was pissed. He, like, took off leaping and bucking and, like, that thing bit me. But luckily, his reaction was then to
you
come back around.
You had your bronc riding training for the day?
I had my neck strap. I was like, hold on, my neck strap. Like, oh, gosh. And luckily, he came around, and he just popped right back over it and didn't overreact and just remembered to pick up his legs. And that was nice because these things are solid and I would like to not, you know, he needs to learn. But now he canters around, like does little courses. And the first time it took us about 30 minutes to get in the water. I've never had a horse more opinionated about going in the water, where I had a friend that was leading me into the water and she just kept circling around and circling around. And he was standing at the edge and like biting and kicking and like throwing a proper temper tantrum, and he reached out and he bit the horse on the butt. Like, was like, stop making me look bad. Stop it. And then, but we finally got him in.
That's
and
funny.
And then now he just walks in. He's like, oh, I know what I'm doing. Oh, I got this. And that's what I love about the thoroughbreds is, like, you know, as long as you're patient, you don't overreact because they're super sensitive. And they just get this air of cockiness, or the ones that I've run into, at least. They get an air of cockiness.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they kind of look at you and you're like, oh, are you going to go in the water? And he,
and then they act like, oh, I had this the whole time. Yeah. I was not being obstinate. It was my idea.
Yeah. It was fine. Yeah. I'm a pro.
I knew what I was doing.
Professional.
Yeah, I was just testing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but he's doing fantastic. And, he's barefoot right now.
So if you look at him, well, let's just take eventing. You're going to compete him eventing, I assume.
Eventing, and I think I'm going to do, because you can do a second discipline, and I think I'm either going to do freestyle or dressage.
So what, if you take a look at the three phases, what's going to be his strong point, what's going to be his weak point? Because you can tell usually pretty early on.
Well, he's really good on the flat. And he's flashy, so I think they'll like him on the flat. And once I get shoes on him, I think he's going to be even flashier. But we're trying to give his feet some time to reset.
How old is he again?
He's 5.
5, okay.
Yep. But I really think the cross country. He's brave. And once he learns how to, I'm going to say this, once he learns how to gallop, once he learns how to gallop in a different manner, I think that's going to be his strong point. I think show jumping might be his weak point. You know, that whole picking up of his legs thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and it's amazing how many eventers, you would think show jumping would be relatively easy, because usually the ones, certain horse in particular I'm thinking of here, usually the ones that are really good at cross country, sometimes they have trouble in the ring. And you would think, they got jumping down. Why are they having so much trouble in the ring?
But on the cross country, you're able to be more open.
Well, and you're at a dead gallop. Yeah,
Well, maybe not dead.
Well, maybe
not. Let's not use that word in cross country.
But you have to be more collected when you're in the ring.
Yeah, and be nimble. And a lot of the event horses are taught or have a natural, like while they may be scopey, they don't have hang time. They kind of skim across the jumps so that they're more efficient. They don't tire too easily on the cross country. And in the show jumping, you're asking them for their bascule to be more rounded and more nimble. And the good, efficient cross country horses sometimes can't. They're not super versatile like that. Now, when you do have one of those, you need to hold on to that horse and never let it go. At least in my opinion. But you do. Sometimes you only get one or the other.
Now, freestyle, you said freestyle was going to be your other one?
Yes, and I'm not talking freestyle like natural horsemanship.
Yeah, because they can get pretty crazy in the freestyle ring. I mean, we're talking fire and tarps and
no fire. No, I actually...
Guns going off and cannons going off. And
maybe I should keep my little my idea to myself, but I'm going to share it with everyone. And I'm actually stealing it from somebody else. Because freestyle in the Retired Racehorse Project, I read the rules like a couple times just to make sure I was clear. It is literally a freestyle. Like, you could do whatever you want.
And they
You have.
There was horses jumping in the back of pickup trucks last year.
Oh my gosh. Okay, maybe I won't do freestyle. I can't make a horse do that. I'm not that talented.
It was pretty crazy.
No, but so I was at Clayton Frederick's for his showcase down here in Florida, and he was showing off his horses. And he and a couple people, another girl, did this thing where they had the jumps set up with human standards.
Yep.
So they could alter, like, it was just people holding it to music, and they made like bounces, like a set of like single vertical bounces just with humans. And they did like these sequence steps. It was like a little dance routine to music.
Oh, that's really cool.
And like did like a circle.
I don't know that
and,
that's
like,
been done
bar.
Before.
So I was thinking of doing something
that's
like
really
that.
That's really cool. You have to have your people really in sync too, though.
I know.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I have enough.
How about a jump rope? We can add that
me.
To the list. I saw that horse jump and rope the other day.
Okay. I have not, I don't have that talent. I jump things. That's my talent. I don't have talent.
Well, maybe we could have somebody else doing the rope part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing could go wrong.
No.
No.
Not at all. I would have it around his ear and like, you know, that's a double Dutch. Come on.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad. We're glad to get an update. And we hope that Gable continues to progress, because we're all rooting for Gable to win the OTTB challenge.
He's awesome. But if we don't win, he can at least win the most wanted thoroughbred. So everybody has to call in.
We
and I'm going
to
keep
sure.
plugging this on the weekend. It's the 5th through the 8th. They have like an open, like you can text in if you're not there or if you are there. I'm not quite sure yet, but when I find out the details.
And we'll promote the heck out of it for you.
Because then he could win Most Wanted Thoroughbred.
We want Kayla to win.
No, just Gable. That's fine.
All right, let's head off to our next guest. Speaking of eventers who had a good weekend, well, there's a certain one that had a good weekend, and she is sponsored by our longest sponsor here at the Horse Radio Network, is Kentucky Performance Products. And I think she's learning how addicted or how good a sponsor Kentucky Performance Products can be. We have Megan Lynn. She is with the Elevate Event Team, and we've had her on before talking about the Natural E. His barn name is Leo. Hi, Megan.
Good morning.
So, over the weekend, you decided to just win a CIC one star. Not too bad at Red Hills.
No, it was a good weekend. I had a good boy.
I bet. And you had some serious competition in that class, too.
Yes. There was a little bit of pressure in that class, for sure.
So tell us, now, it's been a little while since we've talked to you about Leo. Tell us, you know, I was just asking Kayla, she's training up a thoroughbred for the challenge, and I said, you know, every thoroughbred has their weak and their strong points. So what's his weak and what is his strong, and how was it over the weekend? Did he live true to that?
You know, I think it all changed over the weekend. You know, I would always say, you know, everybody, he was a dressage horse, you know, dressage would be his strongest, our strongest phase. But, he came out a different animal this weekend. You know, I don't know if it's because I wanted it so bad, but, and I would have said that cross country would have been his weakest, because he, you know, he's a warm blood. He needed to learn how to gallop, and, with all the people there, you know, he's a little bit of an ADD horse and gets distracted. So, you know, I thought that would have taken away from him, but he was very strong for me in all three phases. So, you know, I have to give it to him. I didn't have a weak horse in a phase this weekend, so I can't take any of that away from him. In stadium, you know, we've not done much stadium after cross country, and I figured I'd have a tired horse, and he still came out and gave, you know, 110%. So, like I said, before this weekend, I would say dressage was his strongest and cross country was his weakest and stadium was my weakest. after this weekend, he showed that he's strong in all three phases, which just still gets me all giddy inside.
Well, isn't that awesome, though, when it all comes together? You know, your training finally pays off.
Yes. And I will say I put a little bit of pressure on myself this weekend because, you know, I kind of went into the weekend thinking, you know, I have a nice horse. I've had a great trainer. I've had great backing with Kentucky Performance Products. You know, now I kind of feel like it's up to my riding. You know, I can do this. So, you know, I went into the weekend, you know, thinking I can do well. I just need to go do it. Everybody's provided me with the right tools to go do it. So time for me to step up and try to do that for them.
Now, Karen, of course, owns Kentucky Performance Products. And, you know, she's been on our show a thousand times and known her for years. She's a good friend. Was she there with a big whip to make sure you did it right?
She was there, but I wouldn't say with a big whip. Karen is amazing. I can't even explain in how many ways Karen is amazing. You know, she comes to these horse shows and she loves it. She loves it just as much as I do. And that is so important to me. And she's a part of it. You know, she doesn't just sit back as an owner. She's involved. She's helping me clean stalls, braid him. You know, she's a part of it every minute of each way.
Kayla, how rare courses, is having an owner like Karen, Kayla?
Oh, well, I have an owner similar to, oh, no, I have a business partner similar to Karen, but they are rare.
Yeah.
And when you have them, you hold on to them and you hug them and you say thank you so much. But how neat. And
Megan, I know that Karen feels the same about you because I've had that conversation. And you are a lucky girl. That's hard to come by. And when you have one that's as dedicated as Karen is, and having as much fun, because if the owner's not having any fun, it's miserable for the rider, right?
I mean, I'm so blessed.
Yeah,
so blessed
that you got a second horse. Is that also owned by Karen?
Yes.
Tell us about the new one.
Florida trips have become expensive for Karen. Every time she comes to visit me in Florida, we talk about getting a horse. It started 2 years ago. And she's like, I think I want to get a horse. And I'm like, I think you should get a horse. And then she comes down this trip. And there's a horse called the Dodger that on the farm was for sale. And, you know, she found out a little bit of information on him. And we're like, maybe we should get him. So,
well, you got to have a deep barn, right? I mean, you got to work on having a deep barn. So tell us about Dodger. What's Dodger's story? Because your other one's a Danish warm blood, 9 years old, right?
Yes. He's a Danish warm blood. Dodger is 14. He is a little older, but he's been around the eventing world. He's an Irish sport horse, classified as an Irish sport horse, but he's actually part Connemara pony. So he was his mama's Connemara pony, which is kind of cool. Yeah. And we've always been, I've known Dodger for the last 5 years, I think. When I was going and showing with Missy with my other horse, Who's Your Daddy, I would see the horse going prelim with his previous rider. And he was always so cute because he's a bay roan. And he always caught our eye because my stepfather has quarter horses and one of his quarter horses is a bay roan. And so we always joke like there's, you know, the little bay roan running around prelim cross country like it's nothing. And then, you know, the gentleman who had him before, it took him to a few 2-stars. And when he went on the market and I had jumped him and had a blast on him, you know, we thought this might be a good time to get me, you know, showing, you know, continue showing the upper levels and get me a little bit more experience on a horse who has the experience. So that was kind of where that all went to.
Well, your career is certainly on the right track. Really is. I mean, you've got the right track going. Are you still working with Missy Ranshausen?
Yes. Yeah. I'm currently with her in Florida.
Ah, so she gets to kick your butt every day?
Every day in so many ways, and now on multiple horses.
She's a glutton for punishment, apparently.
I love Missy. We've known Missy for so long now because she was coach of the para team, and you know we've been helping the paras out since we started the network 10 years ago. So I've gotten to know Missy really well. As a matter of fact, you tell Missy when you see her today that she has not contacted me to have our annual dinner. We usually get together once while she's here in the winter.
Oh.
So you tell her that she's...
Yeah, I'll have to get after her.
Yeah,
for that.
she owes me a dinner yet before she heads out, all right? You make sure she knows that.
Yes, I'll be sure to tell
her. And remind her, it's her turn to pay, too, okay? Well, I am so happy for you, Megan. I'm so happy for Karen and the whole team over there at Elevate Event Team. And of course, the Natural E got, you have to tell everybody that's new to the show how your horse got the name the Natural E.
Oh, well, because of Karen owned Kentucky Performance Products, and with all their supplements, she wanted to name him after Elevate, which is their vitamin. They're all natural vitamin E product. And we went through a few names that kind of went with that, and the Natural E is what stuck.
It's a great name, too.
Therefore, it's the Natural E. So yeah, it works for him.
I assume that your horses use several of the products from Kentucky Performance Products.
Yes. They rely a lot, actually, on the Kentucky Performance Products. So they range from, you know, Elevate, which we think is super important for them. You know, it helps, you know, keep their muscles feeling good and not getting stiff and sore. And they're also on Contribute, which is great for their skin with the omega-3 fatty acids and reduces any body inflammation. Leo is also on Careform, which is great for his feet, his coat again. This horse, we always joke because all of her supplements are really good for the horse's coats, that he shines from the inside out. You know, most people, they put a little arm grease into the horses trying to get them to shine, but he shines from the inside out. You know, and then he's also on Summer Games, which is an electrolyte that helps keep him hydrated and drinking all year. And Nalox, which is great for his digestion. And, you know, especially as hard as he's working and we're traveling everywhere, to keep him from getting stressed and getting ulcers and everything, it just keeps digested and his tummy feeling good.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at a picture.
And it's all about Leo being happy.
That's right. I'm looking at a picture on Eventing Nation from last weekend of you jumping a jump that Jenny Autry took. And he is one shiny pony. And he's such a big, how big is he?
He's about 17.2, 17.3.
Yeah, he looks big. Yeah, and obviously
he's my big boy.
He likes to clear jumps because he's clearing this one by about a foot. So it's like,
Yes. He likes to jump fairly big, and sometimes he doesn't always keep his mother with him.
Uh-oh.
So he has to hold on a little extra tight. He jumps the jump. He's a powerful jumper. It's great. I love it.
Well, now I'm going to say something because you won't. And this is so cool when you get this opportunity. I'm looking at the CIC one-star results, and it was you in first with Natural E, and then it was that guy Boyd in second place.
That guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to beat Boyd Martin and be ahead of him. How cool is that?
It was a good feeling. But I will say, following him and Leslie Law and a bunch of others.
Yeah. Oh, Leslie Law was in third.
Yeah.
That
was the hardest thing in my life because, and I've never, you know, reverse order of go and then all of a sudden being the only one in the warm-up arena. Oh my god.
That just proves that you have the best mental awareness. Like, you can just go in, game face, boom, did it. So you just have to remember that feeling every time you go into the warm-ups from now on. Be like, I beat Boyd Martin and Leslie Law because
screw
I'm a
those
boss.
Two.
Exactly.
I think I prayed a lot too. Yeah.
Maybe, well, that doesn't
maybe
hurt
take
either.
Some of the vitamin E supplement yourself, you know, so you can recover afterwards.
That's right.
Isn't your brain a muscle?
I will.
Most riders choose alcohol
for that.
Well, and
Missy was great in warm-up with me, too, because she looked at me and she's like, you know, because I was really nervous. And I got on and I got a little bit better, but right before I went in, and there's so many spectators there. I've never been to Red Hill, so I've never been, you know, with so many spectators everywhere. It felt like a little Rolex. So she looked at me and she said, Megan, it's okay. You know, you're here to produce an advanced horse and win the advanced one day. This is, you know, it's okay. Just go ride this prelim course because you know how to. And I was, you know, which was exactly what I needed to hear before I went in.
But I know Missy. So as you were walking away, what you didn't hear her say is don't screw. Well, she probably used the F word, but don't screw it up. That's what she said as you were walking
right,
away.
She probably did use the F-word.
Under her breath, though.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
We love you, Missy. All right. Thank you, Megan, for joining us. And thank Karen and the whole group over there at Kentucky Performance Products for supporting the sport and for supporting such a cool rider as you and a couple of neat horses. And we're excited to see Dodger come up through the ranks as well.
Well, thank you so much and let me come on the show. And I just want to say again, thank you to Karen and Kentucky Performance Products for giving me this opportunity and believing in me enough to invest in me to do this because I'm in love with it.
Well, you just proved yourself. So
thank you so much.
There's that. You must be doing the job. You just proved yourself. So you can feel worthy of it now too. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. How important is that, though, to have owners that are really that good?
It's none. Like, because you
yours
always,
is good, too.
Oh, mine's good. Yeah. She's really good. And she's my
Or you wouldn't be doing all of this if you didn't have that owner.
No. I'd be in Maryland crying.
In the snow. With the boyfriend.
Crying. I mean, I'd be with my boyfriend. That's awesome, but I'd cry. The owners... or as Dawn wants me to call her, she's my business partner. She doesn't own me. We're partners in everything. And I can go to her with life advice. I'm like, okay, this is happening. What do I do? So it's great. And I feel like, you know, there are owners out there that, you know, they want to see results now and they want to see this and that and like how much pressure that puts on a rider. And everything. So it's great when you have somebody who just want their horses happy and they want to see the people happy and they're invested in just the sport and the fun of everything. And so it's great.
Good. Well, and you find those, it's interesting, you know, I've asked in the past how riders have found the good owners. And most of the time it's kind of by accident in a roundabout way.
So by accident.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking how I came across Dawn is I actually ended up starting to teach her because she had semi-retired. She was in her 50s and wanted to learn how to ride a horse. And I started to teach her and I took her on a hack one day and we were just chatting. And then I mentioned that there was this horse for sale that I really wanted to go try. And he didn't work out for me, but like I was like, oh, I really want to go try him, blah, blah, blah. And it'd be, I'm already up there and it's my birthday. And she's like, why don't you just go try him? Have a sit. And then we kind of from there, it just snowballed into this big thing. And it's just, it's awesome. Those people are awesome.
Well, terrific. But now it is time
dun,
your debut.
Actually, I did this last time.
Oh, yeah, you did.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit really crappy Craigslist and Facebook ads, and we take a look at them and have a little fun with them. And we always give a prize out. We take all of the names of everybody who enters all month long. We put them in a big hat. At the end of the month, we pull out for some prizes. If you submit your own really bad ad, if you record it yourself on your phone or wherever and send it to us, and you're the one reading it, we give you double the entries, and we have a couple of those today. Jennifer, what are the prizes for the month of March?
This month, we have from Noble Outfitters the Equisential Tote. The Equisential On-the-Go Grooming Tote is an organizational dream and the perfect addition to your equestrian gear, allowing you to have everything that you need wherever you go, while the easy cleaning mesh base ensures that dirt doesn't stay stuck to the bottom of your stuff. You can visit nobleoutfitters.com and see all of their nifty products. And also, one of our sponsors, the Road to the Horse of Road to the Horse, Cavallo Boots, woohoo, is giving away a pair of Trek boots. Those are the ones that both Nigel and Scooter wear, and they're great for the relief of chronic pain or hoof sensitivity, rehabilitation from injuries, protection when your horse has an abscess or navicular, laminitis or founder, punctures and sole bruising, and everything else. Just think of them as Nikes for your pony. and they have a $160 value and come in a myriad of good sizes. And you can find them at Cavallo-INC.com.
Thank you to our terrific sponsors who provide the products here every month. All right, let's get started with a really bad ad. Sean sent this one in. Gelding and Mayer for sale, Woods Cross, Utah, $2,800. Guido is a chestnut gelding. He is a retired rodeo horse. He has quite a few skills. Some need to be retaught. Okay, now, if you have to reteach him, does he have the skill? I mean, if they need retaught, I'm not sure he has the skill. He knows neck reining and moves out on a trail all day, even if you only ride a couple of times a year. What's that tell you?
But you might need to reteach him that.
Yeah. He moves out on the trail. This guy is taking you for
He's
a ride.
Galloping.
Oh, there's another one. This is the mare. Sugar is the red dun mare. She is papered with AQHA. She has a few issues and would mainly be really good as a brood mare.
I don't want to breed that. I don't want to breed issues.
Yes. So you can't ride that one. That's not rideable. The other one is needs retrained, and this one's not rideable. I would prefer them to go as a package deal because they have grown such a deep connection with one another, and it would be so much easier if they could stay together. Yeah, easier for you, not so easy for the guy who's buying them.
Yeah. I want to ride the... That's probably why he needs retraining, because he can't leave his girlfriend.
That's probably why he's in a heck of a hurry to get home.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't buy those horses.
Oh, man. Okay. The next one is from Tammy Swanson.
You'll notice I gave you all the long
ones.
I
know. I was going to say, I was looking through them and I was like, how did I get all the long ones? I am not Jamie. I do not read well. Okay. We have a mini gelding, $350 from Horton, Kansas. All right. My name is Moonshine, and this is my story. I am 5 years old and a pain in the butt. This is a direct quote, by the way. And I love to make people laugh and scream and jump up and down. I love to see them throw things, especially halters and feed tubs. My human, quoted previously, is also a bit of a comedian. She likes to make me pull a tire around the yard. Sometimes she even stands on the tire and let me tell you, it is no picnic. After I've dragged her lazy butt around for miles and miles, she thinks a pat on the head and a carrot is a sufficient reward. Wrong. Next time she shows up with that halter slung over her shoulder, I'm off like a rocket around the yard, full tilt. That's when she screams. Then I trot up real close and put my ears up, all cute and stuff. The moment that halter comes into view, off like a shot again, and voila, the halter flies into the air about 50 feet, and it's another vacation day for me. So, if you love playing the toss the halter game and have a good sense of humor, drop my human a text or a call. I'm the best at what I do and relish the opportunity to take on a new challenge.
Do you think she got any calls? This is one that you do want to know. And it's a mini. That's the other thing. It's a mini gelding. Let's not forget that. And apparently, from what I hear about minis, they're almost all good at that.
I feel like the halter should just stay on.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, I kind of,
with like
yeah.
a little mini lead that yeah. you can just grab.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh, man.
All right, let's go to Robin, sent in the next one. So she's going to read that for us. Maybe.
Range-free and cage-free eggs for a good cause. Okay, it's egg sale time. I never force my eggs with lights like to lay more during the winter like others. My babies are cage-free and range-free. Never in cages or structures! Exclamation point, exclamation point. My egg sales go to feed my rescues and pets only. 2 more exclamation points. I never make profit and don't intend to. 3 exclamation points. I guarantee my eggs are huge and healthy to the fullest. 2 more exclamation points. $5 for 12 eggs, and that includes the cartons. 4 exclamation points. Sure, you can find cheaper, I'm sure, but are they cared for like mine? 4 question marks. Many of you have seen how mine are cared for, so I won't price war with others. Quality over quantity is how I how I operate here. 4 exclamation points.
I don't think she has to worry about making profit. I think that's going to be a problem. And by the way, I don't think that the ad was quite right. When you say range free, that means your chicken is not outside on the range.
I think it's supposed to be free range.
Free range. Yeah. Range free is just range. The opposite of free range. Yeah.
What is that?
It means your chickens are out wandering around eating the bugs in the grass. That's right. What being free range.
Yeah.
Range free implies that this chicken's not out in the range at all. It's free of the range.
It's free.
So that's, anyway, I think she had it backwards.
Oh, no.
She had good intentions,
detail,
though.
Detail.
Healthy big eggs. That's what counts.
All right.
Oh, next one's mine.
Yeah.
Ruby sent in the following one. Sorrel Pony, $800 in Tonopah, Arizona, right down the street from Jamie. 8-year-old Sorrel Pony. My friend bought him for his granddaughter from a stray sale. He didn't work out, so I bought him. He just sits there and he eats. For the last 3 years, he's been doing a great job of it. He's a rotten little pony, but I love him to pieces. I can ride him, but he needs a firm hand. He bucks and he rears at first, but if you can ride it out of him, he will quit. Not for kids. If you didn't see that last bit coming, this pony is not for you.
I love him so much, but I want to sell him.
Yeah, because he's a pain in the ass.
Because he will buck you off.
He's going to buck you
off.
And
if he doesn't buck you off, he will rear you off.
Yes. What's a stray sale, by the way?
I saw that, and I was like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Do they just gather up all the
stray ponies in the neighborhood, and we sell
cats,
them?
Cats, dogs, ponies, goats.
That's what I was thinking.
It's like a flea market. It's like
Which is, by the way, where you find crazy little ponies at a flea market. Yeah.
Okay. So is this Katie O'Grady? That it just has an email. I'm going to say Katie O'Grady sent this
Sounds
one
good.
In.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my
it's
God.
The trailer. And I swear to God, I've seen this driving down the road in Ocala with some cows in it.
You probably have.
Okay. It's a stock trailer, $600 from Wachula, Florida.
Yeah.
Can we go with that? All right. 24-foot stock trailer, 600 OBO, needs some welding work and a couple tires and a new wood floor as is, make it how you want it, is priced to sell. For more information, call in Wachula.
Okay, let's review. The sides are falling off and they need welded. It needs a new floor and it needs new tires. What's left?
I think it also might need a new paint job.
I want to know, now, in this picture, the trailer, by the way, it's an open-sided stock trailer that has the weirdest gate configuration I've ever seen. It looks like it's made of gates.
Yes.
Like those panel gates. That's what it looks
like
it's made of.
It has a canvas top, and there's actually a hole in the canvas in the top. They probably should have said also top needs replaced.
Top needs replaced, yeah. Now, I'm really concerned because apparently they're getting rid of the trailer because the truck they used to pull it is no longer in one piece because there's
an engine
sitting right beside on the ground. It's a truck engine sitting right beside the trailer.
Blocked a nice touch.
Yeah. Does that come with it, the dead engine block?
Oh, my gosh. And the tire, does that front tire look flat?
Like, yeah, it's
flat
very
on
flat.
On the front, though.
On the front.
Completely disintegrated that tire.
Yeah.
Well, it did say it needs new tires.
Oh, my God.
All of that for a mere $600. Andrea sent in the following. This is from Facebook. In Slick, Oklahoma. Who lives in Slick, Oklahoma? Jennifer, look up Slick, Oklahoma. I need to know something about Slick, Oklahoma.
I hope it's close to where Jamie's
moving.
Gonna...
No, I know, because we'll get ads from Slick all the time. War paint is for sale, not on sale. Please restrain from messaging me offering to trade for a spare trailer tire or a fighting rooster. This horse is easy on the eyes, and anyone can and will get along with him. We are not calf horse trainers by any means, but by God, old paint will work the rope. Any other questions, contact me. And they have this picture of a horse. By the way, this very fuzzy picture of a horse way off in the distance. You can't see the horse.
Well, and the guy riding the horse in front of it, but it's like not even the full horse. So which one are we talking about?
I don't know. You
well,
can't see either
horse,
one. They're
right?
Very fuzzy picture.
I don't even know. I don't even know what the last sentence means.
I don't either. It's not a calf horse.
Hey, I find out a little bit about Slick, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Slick.
One.
All right. Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, Slick, Oklahoma is a town in Creek County, Oklahoma, in the United States. The population was 131 in the 2010 census. That's an 11% decline from 2000.
They're all moving out of Slick. Nobody's staying in Slick, Oklahoma, except for this guy selling war paint. He's still there.
Maybe he wants to leave. That's why he's selling it.
It is just south of Tulsa.
Oh, okay, good. All right, good. Almost. All right, let's play the next one. Is from Lisa Dowell, sent this one in, and she read it herself.
Free miniature horse, Orange, Virginia. A mini horse was given to me by a moving neighbor 2 days ago. I thought it would be a good idea to keep him and start a little farm. Although, when the horse started pooping all over my yard, I immediately knew it was time for him to go. Serious inquiries only.
What did she think the mini was going to do?
He poops, so he's got to go.
I didn't know he was going to poop.
I didn't know he was going to poop.
Nobody told me minis poop.
I thought minis were just adorable and farted glitter and rainbows. Darn it.
I have a. This is sent in by Kent. By way, well read there, Lisa. Kendra sent this one in. I got three in a row here. I have a gelding for sale, miniature pony. He is a spotty. $1,500. He's a spotty. That makes me want him right there.
Boom. No picture. Just
spotty.
Yep.
It's just spotty. And then Linda sent this one in. 12-year-old chestnut quarter horse mare trail horse. End of the month sale, $350. Comes with a chicken / turkey. We don't know what it is. You tell me. And a bale of hay, plus all the wild rabbits you can catch. Good ground manners, responsive in the saddle, not registered.
A chicken / turkey. How do you not know the difference?
Maybe they crossbred or something.
Oh, maybe it's a turkey.
A turkey. That's right. You have a turkey.
That's because it's a peacock.
That's right. It's not a chicken turkey at all.
Or a duck.
When the ad, by the way, this is a lesson for the day. When the ad starts with talking about, it has one sentence, end of the month special sale, $350 for a chestnut quarter horse mare.
That's all you get
and
to know.
Then it goes into talking about other stuff not related to the horse. This is not a great horse because there's really nothing they have to say about it. They had more to say about the chicken turkey, the turkey. Well,
they did
anything.
End good ground manners, responsive in the saddle, unless they're talking about the turkey.
The turkey. True.
Oh my gosh. And you want to know why you had three in a row? Because of this one. This one's mine and it's a novel. Okay. It was sent
all right,
in.
Sit back, everybody.
All right. I need to take a breath. Okay, Claire.
Dramatic reading.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You want some music? What kind of ad is this, Jennifer? What kind of music do we need for this?
We need something dramatic.
Oh, dramatic. Oh, all I have is NPR. So let's...
And give us some NPR. This is worthy of NPR.
All right. Hi, my name is Cotton. I am currently looking for a new job. Apparently, the ranch where I've worked for my whole life is downsizing. Anybody with a few years in and good benefits gets the axe first. So, off to the sale I went. Met lots of sad ones there. Some have never had a decent job in their lives. But anyhow, back to my story.
Yeah, screw them.
I have had a steady job all my life working on a cattle ranch, 40 to 60 miles a day circling cattle. I have never been unemployed. I have a bumpy knee that seems to catch the attention of most humans, but the nice blonde lady with the funny accent, I think she's the boss mare here, so I better not make fun of her, says that it's just jewelry. Really? I'm a guy's guy. This new career thing is looking a bit, well, weird. Next thing I know, the nice blonde lady, she dressed me up in some funny outfit for a new occupation she calls dress age. No idea what that is, but she said I would be great at it. We went to this huge barn she calls an indoor arena. Never seen anything like that. Oh, it was dry and soft. I wanted to roll, but was told that it's forbidden with the saddle on. Saddle? What saddle? The tiny, little, itty-bitty piece of leather? Oh, it's a dress saddle. A dress age saddle. What do you know? It was kind of fun. I really had to do nothing.
didn't even break a real sweat. I could do this all day long. The nice blonde lady wasn't even wearing spurs. She said, I have plenty of forward. Of course I do. You don't spend a decade riding fences without learning how to move along. Geez, this dress age job just might not be so hard or so bad. So, long story short, she told me about this place called Facebook, where I could meet lots of nice folks who would appreciate an older fella like me, who is cool. I'm 16 years young, very tall, and handsome. I get on well with little humans, as well as big ones. The nice blonde lady said she is working on a video, but her haynet is very slow tonight. I personally hate those slow feeders. Can't get a decent bite out of them. No, wait a minute. She was yelling about something. Internet? Not haynet? Dang. I hope that isn't another newfangled way to keep me from chowing the alfalfa. If you're looking for a good-looking, hard-working, dress-age horse who's not afraid to answer truthfully when you ask his age, give the nice blonde lady a call and we'll meet up for donuts and an alfalfa smoothie.
Okay, this was definitely written by a dressage rider because it's like 20 pages long.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. We don't even know how big he is.
No, we really don't know much.
He's tall and handsome.
He's just tall handsome. And handsome.
My gosh.
Went on and on. You know, when we asked for audition tapes for doing this show back when Jamie applied, we got a lot of dressage riders, and I could always tell in the first 20 minutes when they left their message that they just, dressage riders like to go on a little bit.
They're detail oriented.
I was going to say, they're very detail oriented. They're precise.
Yes. Yes.
So, and precise comes with a lot of information.
Yes, apparently. That's why those damn tests last 12 minutes. So anyway, no offense, Reese and Phillip.
No
offense at all.
Sorry, dressage people.
Hey, I got an ally in Reese.
Send your complaints to...
Yeah, Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com.
Yeah,
she'll delete them with the rest of them.
Yeah.
You see, I have an ally in Reese. Reese is a Grand Prix dressage rider, has ridden to the top levels, and she even hates watching dressage, so there you go. I'm not the only one. Does your boyfriend watch dressage?
Oh my God, he hates it.
Yeah.
He's like, so when are you going to jump?
Yeah. When's that over?
When are you going to jump?
Longest 5 minutes of my life.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go put studs in the other horses at the trailer. I'll see you when you get back.
Good luck with it.
Even I don't like riding dressage that much. Like, it's fun when you're doing it sometimes, but then you're just like, is this test ever going to be over?
Do I have to do another half pass?
Oh my gosh. Where's my 20-meter circle? I do that all the time. The lower level tests where they're so simple, I get lost all the time. I'm like, okay, trotting around. Oh, isn't this a beautiful trot? Oh, I was supposed to circle back there. Darn. Maybe they won't notice.
No ADD for you.
Yeah.
Well, Kayla, thank you. And by the way, thank you, everybody, for submitting your ads. We really appreciate it. Jamie should be back here, maybe, if she gets a flight home from Hawaii, or if she ever leaves Hawaii. She should be back on Monday.
It's going to be all, you know, packed. She's just not going to be able to come back.
I assume Chad has to go to work at some point. So they're going to have to come back at some point.
She's going to come back tan, though.
But we'll both be here on Monday. Kayla, thank you so much. What's your website?
Selcouth, which is SELCOUTH, sporthorses.com.
Do you have anything for sale right now?
I do.
What do you have?
Actually,
put a plug.
I have this awesome, he's fantastic, he's like a little sports car, 12-year-old, 15-2-hand Oldenburg gelding who is jumping at hits actually today in the meter 20. And he's going to hopefully do the meter 30 soon. And he's also competed up through training level and could easily go out and run prelim, intermediate. And so he's for sale. I also have...
How big was he again?
15-2.
Oh, good size, yeah.
But he fits some... serious
well, he's got leg. Oldenburg blood, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people ask me, like, oh, is he a thoroughbred? I'm like, no, he's an Oldenburg. don't offend him. And then my thoroughbred is not for sale.
No, that's your competition horse.
Yes. And then I actually have a show jumper that I'm contemplating selling, who's 8 Irish sport horse show jumper. He's competed a meter 10 and very straightforward to the fences. Easy, lovable guy. But he's, I don't know, I'm on the fence. I like him a lot. And I think he's going to be a top horse. So, but I think actually all my horses are for sale for the right price.
Well, you're in the business. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody's actually interested in the one that you were talking about that's jumping here in a little bit,
yep.
Just go to the website.
Go to the website. He's on my Facebook page, Selkoos Sport Mueller. Horses, or Kayla Muller.
Kayla Muller.
Yeah.
I did it wrong.
He's on, I know. We had a whole thread on that.
I know. I saw that.
The auditor's page.
I did it on purpose.
I know. Mueller. Yeah. No. Yeah, and also follow the Retired Racehorse Project freshman phenom at Gable on Facebook. He has his own Facebook page, so please follow that. And you can find that, I think it's RRP Freshman Phenom 2017 or something like that. But yeah.
Okay, and Jennifer will put links in our show notes as well. Well, thank you, Kayla. We really appreciate you stopping by. Hopefully we can do more of the auditor type thing here in the future when either one of us are out. And that's it for today. All of the other shows are coming out. If they're not out already, they will be in the next couple of hours. We hope that you enjoy those as well. There was some good stuff on the other shows this week. And you can find our app, iOS or Android. Just download it there. We hope the sound was a little better for you today. We'll find out here shortly how the recording came out, and we hope that we've eliminated some of those issues thanks to a lot of swearing here at the studio last night. That's it. We'll see everybody. Take care. Oh, wait a minute. Nope. I need some good music.
Dramatic
to,
and exit music.
We gotta exit with
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Yay! Green beer for everybody.
Woo! Ibuprofen in the morning.
Yeah. Ibuprofen for everybody.